Sport. Grandstand Cricket.
There you go.
That's it for the day.
You can hear the bells.
And that is Stumps.
This is Grandstand at Stumps.
On ABC Radio,
ABC Sport Digital Radio, and the ABC Listen app.
Well, if the game was in the balance at the start of the day, by the end of it, the Australians are well and truly on top. They started the day 218 behind, 2 wickets down. They end the day 7 wickets down, but 134 in front. Centuries to both Steve Smith and Travis Head lit up the third day of the fifth test at the SCG. We've got a whole lot to pull apart. Corbin Middlemass alongside Jason Gillespie and Stuart Clarke at the boundary's edge. Steve Smith and Travis Head both turned up. Who does the day belong to? Jason Gillespie.
Oh, without a doubt, Corby, and good evening to everyone. It belongs comfortably to Australia. Just heard Darren Lehman talk saying Australia can't lose this game. That's probably the most likely scenario. Still going to have to obviously continue on tomorrow. The new ball's not available for another 30-odd overs, so yeah. Australia have got a great opportunity to keep driving it home.
If you're picking the photo to put on the front page of the paper, though, is it Steve Smith or is it Travis Head?
Oh, okay. Because we're in Sydney, I'm probably going to go Steve Smith, but Travis Head's innings, the whole tempo of the game was different when he was batting. Stewie. The whole tempo was different, wasn't it?
Yeah, he played. Look, Smith did what Smith did. From the moment he walked out, he had that steely look in his eyes. He let a lot of balls go early, and then he started to knock it around. And then the thing that got me about watching Stephen bat was he started to, you know, he was just not going to throw his wicket away. They were tempting him with really wide, sort of rubbishy balls, and it was like he went, mate, you can bowl all that you want. I'm not going to cop that. And he knocked it out, and he just knocked it. And then once he got it, he was 129, 205. He would have got 129 off 405, if that's what the game required. Yeah, he just had that steely look. I'm putting Smith on the front. I'm putting Travis down the bottom. I'm giving him a little go. And then I'm putting Travis on the back and Smith down the bottom. So I'm getting both, best of both.
You're just hedging your bets. Yeah.
All right, well, let's start with the Steve Smith side of it then. So it was a day which included a century from Travis Head up the top, but Steve Smith in his 37th test ton overall. He's 13th against England, so 13th Ashes 100. Only Bradman has more Ashes 100s than Steve Smith. Only Bradman has more Ashes runs than Steve Smith. There were so many records broken today. It was his fifth ton here at the SCG. It was the first time he and his fellow all-time great Joe Root have scored 100 in the same test match, and Steve Smith continued to prove his greatness. So an amazing knock from him. And in particular as captain, so he really relishes the fact that when he gets the opportunity to lead this team, even now on an interim basis, obviously in the absence of Pat Cummins, but he's got some gaudy numbers, averaging 70 as the skipper, and he's got 1800s in that time. So an incredible record for Steve Smith, only enhanced today.
Oh, most certainly. He's been superb today, and I think Stewie summed it up well. He played the situation absolutely spot on. The team needed him to accelerate. He did that. Team needed him to absorb some pressure. He did that. And he had those partnerships with his teammates that have really got Australia into such a strong position.
And you got to remember on the back of Head, who was, you know, Head was typical Head, right? He was backing away and he played just that innings. And we said 163 off 166. Smith 129, 205. But just different styles of innings, but still entertaining, both in the same. Oh, I think the other thing you got to show, and we haven't spoken, but I thought Green was actually really good. Like he showed, and then he played a pretty average shot to get out. I think he was more frustrated. No, we don't need to comment. I think he realised what he did.
Yeah.
But Bo Webster, again, has just come into this team and he's 40-odd not out. He's looked $1 million. You know, the biggest chance of getting him out looked like run out there. Him and Smith were slipping over as he got a bit tighter. But, look, it was a masterclass from Smith. And to be fair, Travis Head, well supported by the other blokes.
We'll talk more about Steve Smith in just a moment. It had a bit of everything today, including at one point where he had a dot ball from Josh Tung. He did some kind of somersault and ended up with the SCG turf from a worn wicket alongside the pitch that's currently in operation. So that was a trademark of his 102, and we'll only add to the photos. And we talk about his, you know, fidgety mannerisms. Well, there was one of those thrown in as well where he stopped the bowler at one point, pointed to Brighton Cass, who was at mid-off, had the sunnies on the front of his hat, essentially said the glare from the sunnies is inhibiting what I'm doing too much, so can you please turn the sunnies around the other way? So all the fidgety Steve Smith type behaviour we've come to expect. Let's go to Henry Moran, who's got Jacob Bethel with him.
Kind of got slow rewards throughout, but yeah, you can't fault anyone. All our fast bowlers charge in all day.
What's a day like that like as a player, where you know you're having to dig on all reserves mentally and physically?
Yeah, I think it's kind of just those days that you have to just put in the pot as much as possible. That those days are pretty crucial in terms of how you win a test match, and when it's not going your way, to just hold and hold and hold until you finally get your rewards. And I think we did that pretty well.
First Ashes wicket, not a bad one to get. Bowled a lot of overs today. Tell us a bit about you as a bowler. Most people will know what you do with the bat.
Yeah, obviously it was nice to get Heady out. But yeah, I don't know, just me as a bowler, I kind of try and think like a batsman. And just kind of try and play that way.
How important a role is that for you, and what messaging you've had from management about what they see as your role within the side?
There's not been a whole load of messaging around bowling, but I've always said, and people always know, that I'm seeing myself as an all-rounder, and if there is a job for me to do, then I'm more than happy to put my hand up.
This is a big lead now for Australia. What do you feel would be a lead that would take England out of the game?
I think, you know, tomorrow we got to come and get them as quick as possible. I think any more runs that they get on this pitch, I think it's going to make it tough for us to win this test match. So, yeah, I think we're going to have to come and hit them hard tomorrow morning. But, you know, we'll never say never.
What about this surface? Because we've seen the ball do a few odd things, but in the main, it's looked pretty good for batting.
Yeah, I think it's a surface that definitely favours a new ball for bowlers. There's kind of enough pace in it to score throughout, even when the ball gets soft. So I think it's one of them pitches that, as a bowler, you have to be ready, relentless in your length. And just hold that for as long as possible. There's going to be a ball that does something for you in terms of a bowling point of view. So, yeah, you just got to hold that length as long as possible.
What can you take from the innings of Travis Head, Steve Smith, Joe Root in this game for the batting unit to know how to play and play the pitch and the situation?
Well, I think Heady's a bit of an anomaly in terms of how he goes about it. That's watching from gully, and I see him play a cover drive and the ball's hitting the top of middle stump. I'm like, well, that's interesting. How do you do that? But yeah, in terms of the way Rooty and Smith played, I think it just showed once they got past their first kind of 20-30 balls on that wicket, when it is most likely to get you out, they really put the bowlers under the pump and didn't really give them a sniff. So I think that's something for all of our batters to take into that.
How tough has it been for you, having not played a huge amount of cricket in the last 12 months, to get out there in the heat of Ashes battle?
I've enjoyed it. You know, you're sitting on the sidelines just hoping to get the nod, and yeah, I felt ready. So it's just been nice to be out in the middle trying to contribute as much as possible and yeah, just add to the team.
No one means to drop catches, is the old saying, but a few have gone down again today. What are we putting this down to?
Don't know, really. It's part of the game, you know, that saying, catches win matches, but catches do get dropped. And it's just one of those things that you look in the grand scheme of things and it does make a big impact, but it is part of the game. No one likes dropping a catch, and no one means to drop a catch, so yeah, I'm not really sure.
Just finally, this has been a long, hard tour for England. How are the energy reserves within that dressing room, not just physically but also mentally, ahead of what is going to be a tough fight in this game?
I think obviously the bowlers are kind of, especially the guys that have played all five tests, mainly Carsey and the skipper, I think, look, they're going to have to work bloody hard in this next period to try and win us this test match. But, you know, this test cricket is going to be tough for those guys. But yeah, it's kind of one last push tomorrow in the morning, and then hopefully bowling to victory in the day five.
Jacob, thanks for your time.
Jacob Bethel there from the English cricket team at the end of what was a pretty tough day for England. It felt like a day where the wheels really came off in the series. They had torched both of their reviews before the night watchman was out. Then Will Jacks dropped Travis Head on 121. And none of that mentions Matt Potts' figures, which is 25 overs, none for 141. Incredibly, as a fielding display, in their last nine innings, they've had 17 drop catches, just to further reinforce the point about Will Jacks putting down Travis Head.
Yeah, absolutely, Corby. And Jacob Bethel, at the start of his interview, he said, I can't fault the effort of the bowlers, and that's fair. I mean, they've run in, but you can challenge their execution, and at times their execution was poor. I was just talking to Stewie just before, but Travis hit, there was three boundaries off the first three balls at Ports Bowled, and then the Australians hit 70 boundaries, Corby, 70.
Yeah.
It's quite extraordinary, really, isn't it, Stu?
Yeah, look, yeah, effort, no drama. Look, no one plays test cricket and doesn't try. No one plays cricket and doesn't try.
Correct.
Execution, I think it left a lot to be desired. I actually feel sorry for Potts because, man, he's been travelling around, not playing, sitting on the pine, comes out, thrown into a test match on a pretty good surface. You know, maybe if Matthew Potts had played in Melbourne, we'd all be going, oh, what a game he had, because the war, not doing that out here, but his execution, as you know, neither has Cass. I thought Pung bowled okay, to be fair, and Stokes, I think Stokes bowled okay. Just hasn't been up to spot his test standard, unfortunately.
But on the flip side of that, so if you're thinking, well, okay, I haven't been playing, but I've got to make sure I'm ready to play. Something could happen. Someone could get injured, which happened. So you keep chipping away. You keep working on your skills, so waiting for that opportunity. So, yes, you can tell he's short of a gallop, but... Yeah, we know he can bowl better than that. And I know that Darren Lehman's seen him bowl in the past and knows he can bowl better than that.
We celebrated Steve Smith's 37th Test 100 off the top. The other man who turned up today was Travis Head, who did so for the fifth time in Ashes cricket. He picked it up on 91 not out, and it wasn't long before he brought up three figures. Josh Tung's got the task. He bowls to Head on 99. He square drives away to the boundary. And Travis Head winds up his bat, signals to the pavilion. It's a dozen test tons for Travis Head.
With Potts again running in and bowling to Head, who pulls in through the leg side, tucks him off his hip, and the ball is just flying around the SCG at the moment. Carsten is bowling to Travis Head, in he goes, and Head steps away. He's gone for a mighty blow into the leg side. He's going to be caught. He's... Oh, my word!
Oh, my God.
What a terrible drop.
Head, 124. He's on strike here as he backs away and just crunches a ball into the O'Reilly stand. He has put some hurt on that ball, Jack, out of the ground. The new over's about to begin here. Tung's coming around the wicket from the Randwick end and up on his toes. Head's cutting thick edge over the court and away for four. And there is the 150 for Travis Head. He's got 12 hundreds, and now on seven occasions, he's gone past 150.
Yeah, Bethel over the wicket. He's swept, and it hits the bat, and he's out. LBW! And Travis Head's excellent innings comes to an end. LBW, Bethel.
His third ton of the series, his 12th in Test cricket overall. Incredibly, 11 of them at home, but the spread. So now in seven states and territories out of the eight, and the only seven Australian venues he's played at, and he's got 100 in each of them, ticking off the SCG and Sydney in the state of New South Wales today. The only outlier is the Northern Territory, which is Australia's next Test match if we fast forward to August. But all of a sudden, it's a 600-run series, Saf, a third in the series for Travis Head, and another Big Daddy 100 with 163.
It's been phenomenal. It's been the Travis Head show. And look, we were all nervous, you know, back in the middle order. He probably hadn't got as many runs as, you know, he'd done well in one-day cricket. And then Usman goes down, top of the order, peels off in a magnificent Perth 100. We don't need to talk about that anymore. Went to Adelaide, what a 100. And he came here and just, you know, did it again. And look, there's every chance when they play in Darwin later in the year, he'll peel off 100 there because, you know, he's just that sort of bloke. And Travis Head, he doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to have 2 hours in the nets, and he's going to be ready. He's going to do whatever he needs to do to be ready. And when the first ball's bowled, you better be on your game, otherwise Travis Head's coming to get you.
He trains very specifically, Trav. Yeah, he's not hours and hours and hours in nets, but he gets what he needs. But he's really particular, really specific about how he wants to go about his work. And then once he's got his work done, he just gets out of there. He's very clear.
Is there a debate to be had about the man of the series now? Mitchell Starc's got 28 wickets. He was man of the match both in Perth and Brisbane to start the series. Travis Head got hundreds, remembering the first test, the third test and the fifth test.
Good debate.
Can you split it?
Yeah, that's what I said. Can you have two winners? Like, why not?
We don't need two.
It's 2026. I was going to say five. That's wrong. It was last year. It's 2026. We can have two. We can do whatever we want. Hang on. We took the McGillivray medal and put it to McGillivray...
And Maxwell.
Maxwell medal. We can do things. We control the show at the ABC. Yeah. I know people think we don't. We control the show here.
But it's a good pub debate to split hairs, basically, if you had to try and differentiate.
Well, if Mitchell Starc gets some wickets in the second innings, yep, or some runs here in the first innings, I think the debate's
Well, I think you also got Chuck Stark's got some runs.
250s.
I'm on the Stark bandwagon.
I'm on the Stark bandwagon. Fast bowling cartel.
It's the cartel. We'd get kicked out if we didn't go.
You and I were chatting about it off air, I think during the lunch break, Dizzy, and I somehow framed the argument, had an opinion, and then disagreed with myself all before anyone else had spoken. So I thought, the series was done at 3-0, and so Stark was man of the match in the first and the second test.
But you were pushing for Head to be man of the match in that first one.
Then I remembered, hang on, I actually didn't think Stark should have won man of the match, so it's a
you
fun
didn't throw
debate.
Kerry in there as well?
Well, that's...
Old wicketkeeper and you coming out there,
any other
the
stumps. 50 with the bat, he's got nearly 30 dismissals.
Yeah, look.
Any other time. What a series.
Keeping
from Alex Carey. Remembering too with Travis Head, as much as he seemingly has solved one position at the top of the order for the Aussies and what he's done here as an opener, remembering the Aussies were considering Nathan Lyon as a makeshift opener in Perth when Khawaja couldn't bat due to his back spasm. So imagine if something just went that way. If there was a voice in the dressing room that thought, you know what, Nathan Lyon is probably a better option here. Would we have ever found out about Travis Head in home conditions? And that's the nature of sport, nature of life.
It is.
We get deep and spiritual and more broadly.
Getting a bit deep. This is grandstand at stumps. It's not 10:30 at night before we all go to bed. Like, come on, let's get a bit upbeat, a bit joyful.
Usman Khawaja, his last test match. Is it his last test innings? That's the question, given the fact the Aussies now lead the test match by 134 runs, 7 wickets down in their first innings, still at stumps on day 3. This is grandstand at stumps on ABC Sport. He made 17, he got LBW. I liked the fact that he waited until Travis Head was off the ground after his monstrous knock to walk down the stairs and get the ovation that he deserved. He used one of the reviews at the end of it to try and have his LBW overturned. It wasn't
fair
to
enough.
Be. I'm with you. Too.
Last game, mate. You're not going to burn a review. Burn one in your last game. Who cares? What someone's going to
have three
next?
As well. So that was fine.
Can you review your review? Can you go, look, I don't agree. Let's have another crack at it.
No, it was fine. No issues whatsoever.
Yep. For 17. Will he get another hit in the test match?
Oh, looking at the score now, I'm not sure he will. I think it'll be tough.
Unless it's a short chase, and they just send him in at the
top. Tough for big first hour tomorrow morning.
Jeez, we're onto that already. Cam Green was out today for 37. I mean, he looked so comfortable at the crease. He was turning the strike over early, hit some glorious cover drives, but ultimately he was out when the lead was just 53. And you can't help but compare them. I mean, they're two monsters. It feels like one spot in the team. Instead, they're both playing alongside each other. And given the night watchman, they're batting 8 and 9. Webster has already gone past Green in terms of runs scored. He's the not-out batsman at stumps on 42 after Green was out for 37. And the nature of Green's dismissal, I'm sure, will be one that'll haunt him. He got a short ball, played a pull shot out the deep square leg, and Duckett was able to take an easy catch with the sun setting over his shoulder. What did we think of Cam Green today?
I actually thought he looked pretty good. I thought his movements were good. That's just an opportunity missed to make a significant score. And, you know, when you've had a series that you probably feel you've underachieved in, when you get in and you get set, you've got to make the most of it. And unfortunately, Cameron Green just missed out in this instance.
Just repeating the stump score, Australia 134 in front, 7 wickets down, 7 for 518. Now, if you're standing by thinking after a banner day for the Australian cricket team, are we going to hear from someone from the dressing room? Unfortunately, that won't be the case. There's a reason for that. And you may have seen the article that's just popped up on the 9 papers, which the headline reads, "Out of order. Greenberg hits back at Clark after attack on cricket bosses." I'll read the article to you in just a moment, but for context, here's a little of what Stuart Clark had to say yesterday morning during our pre-play coverage on Grandstand Cricket.
James Allsop, who runs cricket in Australia, the head of cricket, community cricket, is a grade club cricket coach who throws underarm balls to kids. That's where his background is. He's a lovely guy, don't get me wrong, but he now runs the whole of cricket. Okay. He can't tell Andrew McDonald, Steve Smith what to do.
So is he Rob Key?
No, he's bigger than... Well, he's the 2IC. He's like the cricket guru in Australia. Okay. And then you go, I think Ben Oliver still there?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So he runs high-performance cricket, but I'm not really sure what he does now. Yep. And then you got George, who's the chairman of selectors. Does he have the gravitas or the leadership skills to tell Andrew McDonald and Stephen Smith or Pat Cummins what to do?
He should do.
He should do, 100%, but I don't think he does.
So in the article on the Nine papers, it lists that Greenberg has referred to the comments as unwarranted and out of order. So just to read you some of these quotes verbatim, Greenberg said, "Those comments I thought were out of order. When I say criticism of Allsop, I think it touches on the personal criticism. I thought that was unwarranted. It was made very clear to me that they were not comments attributed to New South Wales cricket. They were comments attributed to Stewart personally. I'm not going to get into a war of words with Stewart because I've got very high regard for him. But when I think that someone's got it wrong, I'll say it." Now, Greenberg goes on to say, "On this occasion, I thought he overstepped the mark by talking not just about the decisions, but individually about people. I thought it was personal, and I said that to him." Now, he goes on to talk about comments critical of the selectors made by Stuart McGill, but in further to our Stuart's nature or episode, he goes on to say, "It's up to Stuart if he wants to elaborate. I don't want to get into days and days of us going at each other, but even when mates or friends or contacts get it wrong, I'm going to tell him. I've dealt with much bigger ones than this, so it's not the end of the world. What I'm keen to do is put it on the record. What I'm keen to do is put on the record the quality of the people that are making decisions in the high performance and selection and the outcomes of those." He goes on to talk about the success the team's had. "We're number one in the world. We won the World Test Championship, made the final in the next cycle. We've got 70% win rate in the last 4 years under this crew. So we hold all bilateral trophies at this time." He says, "I can go on and on about some of that stuff because I think the performance are unequivocal." He also said that confronted our own Stuart Clark about this issue earlier today, as it was reported in the Nine papers. All of that for context. Essentially, what we've been told tonight is that the Australian cricket team will not be providing anyone to chat with us based off that, basically those comments that were made yesterday morning. So, first of all, to our audience, I mean, that's extremely disappointing in terms of the fact that, you know, people in the regions and people that listen to ABC Radio right across the country at this time obviously don't get the chance to hear from the Australian cricket team. We're still here. We're still on the boundary's edge. We'll still talk about it, but we won't get to hear an opinion from the playing group themselves. And obviously this is a public good, the Australian cricket team. It's not a private cricket team. It's not a private enterprise. And this group is the custodians, obviously, of the game as it sits at the moment. And it is a team which all Australians have a stake in. What do you hear, Stuart Clark, when you read that column?
Look, I'm not going to get into a public spat with Todd. I've known Todd for 20-odd years. We've worked together at the NRL. He was at National Rugby League. I was at New South Wales Rugby League. We're friends. We've played golf together. We've done all of that. We'll have disagreements. We'll continue to have disagreements. We obviously don't agree. The only thing I wanted to clear up is Todd didn't confront me. I've sought Todd out, and I went and spoke to him about it. And we spoke about it cordially, and we obviously don't agree, but that's cool. I have, and like, he's got respect for me. Look, he's run national organisations, and he's now in charge of cricket in Australia. So, you know, from my point of view, I'll probably see him later on this evening. We're all going to a function, and we'll probably have a laugh about it because we've been in, you know, we both worked in rugby league, so you can imagine where that's at. So from my point of view, there's no point having a war of words about this. And other than to confirm, I went and found Todd,
yep.
And I wanted to talk to him very privately about what we spoke about yesterday morning. The other thing I want to make mention is, we, and Dizzy was with me, when they got it right in Adelaide, I commended them. So did, yep, Darren Lim, yep. So did Jason Gillespie. So there is different times and different stages where, you know, we've been very complimentary of the selectors and the crew that are running Cricket Australia. So, you know, that seems to be missed. In that it's not just all one-way street here.
Yep.
There has been comments made. We're not going to go any further on them. It's done. It's dusted. And we'll all move on.
So just to quote that line in the article, it said, "Greenberg said he raised the issue directly with Clark, noting his position of influence within the game." So that's Tom Deason's article through the Nine Press, but I hope that clears it up for you. That's the reason why we won't be chatting with a member of the Australian cricket team tonight. Thank you to England. We got the chance to hear from Jacob Bethel, who spoke with our friends on the BBC, and Henry Moran a short time ago. That's just about us done on Grandstand of Stumps. We're going to take you out with highlights of Steve Smith's 100. But before we go, what are we in for tomorrow? Is there a chance that the test could be over on day 4 at the SCG?
Well, there is a chance, but I don't think it will. I think this surface is still playing well enough. I think Australia can eke out another 100 runs.
Australia will eke out another 100 runs. I think there's a big chance this test could be over tomorrow. 1 foot already on the plane home. England could capitulate, perhaps.
7 wickets down, 518 on the board. The lead is 134. We might just pick this up with Steve Smith, of course, en route to his 37th test ton. He's battle around the wicket again. Smith tries to lap it, gets inside the bounce, just paddles it away through backward square. He comes back for two. Crawley collects in the outfield. Smith turns for three. Webster gets back. Smith's got 100. And the best since Bradman gets even greater. Test 100 number 37. His 13th against the archenemy, and his 5th in his own backyard at the SCG.